Okay. So he was, it's written in his IEP, like the autism-based program with the TA being integrated, you know, regular ed classes. So I guess if that's the called electives or something. He's just recently, because they've added two more TAs to the classroom, I mean, it was chaos when the school first opened. They weren't even allowed, the children weren't even allowed to leave the classroom to go to the cafeteria, I guess. It was unsafe. And he, I want to say, what, 7 weeks into school now? This is the seventh week. He's just a handful of times has gone to his electives. They don't even make it there all the time. You know, sometimes if they're short or whatever. So, you know, is it, you know, no offense, believe me, I know the teachers are working hard, but it's almost like it's shitty babysitting, really. Like, is he going to school to lay on the floor? Like, he's not in the right program. He's not stimulated, and this other child he was with, his buddy, like, they're totally different needs. Totally two different needs. You know, the children they're just not in the right classroom at all. And my son was overlooked. And I believe just shoved in a room just to put another body in there, you know, to meet the quota numbers or something. I don't know, but it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And I'm thinking about, you know, pulling them out of Warwick schools. You know, that's what I've been told. I need to get a, I'm like, what the hell? Liberties are being violated, and he's not. It's this. What am I doing wrong? Am I holding it? Oh, all right. I thought I was hitting a button or something. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm new here. So he's, I don't know. He's that stressed out talking about school. No school today, no school today. And it's like, buddy, you got to go to school. And, you know, that's not good. When he loves school, loves school. And I don't know. I guess I do have to meet with a lawyer. That's my next step, I guess. Because it's against the law, right? I mean, an IEP is a legal document and stuff, right? Yeah, yeah, okay. Ding, ding.
Thank you.
So, thanks.
Thank you.
I'm babbling.
Thank you very much.
Hi, good evening. My name is Pauline Pinto. I teach at Norwood Elementary School. Several of my colleagues from Norwood and Tracy, who's seated up there, spoke this evening about a lack of appropriate staffing. I had no intentions of coming up to speak. I didn't sign up, but I want to reiterate what everyone else here is saying. At Norwood last year, we had no social worker, no guidance counselor, no school psychologist. We have an incredibly great need of social, emotional, and academic need in our building. This year, we have that staffing. We have a school psychologist who is wonderful for 2.5 days. We have a social worker for 2 days. And sadly, I have no idea how often guidance is there, because when I go looking for support, I can't find it there. We have students that are in such great need that these service providers are maxed out and unfortunately are not able to service the needs of the general education kids in my classroom who do have social emotional needs. In addition to that, we have our resource teacher who could not meet the service times of the many students on her caseload. So last week at the school committee meeting, a 0.5 resource teacher was approved for our school. It was, prior to that, suggested by Christine Cobb that she revisit those IEPs and adjust service times, which, as you know, is illegal, and Meredith spoke to that earlier. Thankfully, she refused to do that. Our intermediate self-contained classroom, which has always been grades 4 through 6, became grades 3 through 6 this year, which falls within compliance. However, it's just not a good practice to have third graders in a classroom with sixth graders. In addition to that 0.5 resource teacher. Dr. Conley visited our school this week and informed me after her meeting, her PowerPoint presentation, that we will be receiving one more full-time therapeutic teacher at Norwood to deal with the many social emotional needs in our building. The bottom line is we need more support staff in our schools. It's incredibly hard for learning to take place when behaviors are not in place. That's it. Thank you for your time.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to speak to what Pauline just told you, and it revisits the information that I was giving you before, because I was told that just today, the person who is supposed to be an additional half-time resource teacher, it is likely not that she is going to be coming to our school because there's needs at another school. But this just speaks to what we deal with every day. Every day you hear a different thing. Every day there's different needs. And I apologize for stepping in front of everyone, but I was in that meeting where our one resource teacher, myself and a social worker, were pulled in to meet with Christine Cobb and Dr. Connolly and to kind of, quote, divvy up the services, you know, of these IEPs. Even with us doing that, that still did not meet legally the service times on their IEPs. And we were told basically to collect data on children and reduce service times as data warranted. And that was the directive. I was there in that meeting as well. Yes, we have. I mean, I haven't been collecting any data. I am with certain students in certain buildings for 3+ hours a day because these kids are not able to function in a classroom. Pauline came to me and asked me to speak to a general ed student who was having a hard time. She knows. I hate to turn students away, but with the students who have more significant needs and the services that are not in place, then we have to step up. The whole system is broken right now, and the way that services are allocated, all of a sudden, you know, all these, you know, we're hiring teachers after school has started as a band-aid approach, or hiring teacher assistants, and how did this problem start? Well, it started because of what was started by getting rid of all of these programs. Thank you.
Just to piggyback on what Amy was saying, well, I did ask her to speak with one of my students today, and as wonderful as Amy is, could not be in two places at one time. So I asked our social worker if he could speak to that particular student. He pulled her out into the hallway. We're going off to have a conversation, and there was another behavior need, so he had to send my student back to class. I'm frustrated. I'm worried about the kids in my classroom. Please help us. Thanks.
Can you all hear me? I'm Pat Angeli. I worked 25 years in the Warwick School Department, 15 years at a private school for multiply handicapped, severely profound children. I have a special ed background. I have an elementary ed background. I worked at Norwood School and enjoyed my time at Norwood School. I retired in 2013, so anything I say here, they can't fire me. I sub for them now, and they are so desperate for subs that they're not going to fire me. I'm going to tell you the environment at Norwood School. That was a wonderful school. It still is a wonderful school. But obviously, Dr. Cobb, whatever her name is, since she was not there when I was there, never understood what we call early intervention. Early intervention is supposed to be provided to children when they are young, not just preschool. Early intervention should be all the way up to grade 3. What did they do? They took the self-contained classroom out of there and made a co-teaching classroom that has a special ed teacher and a regular ed teacher, and I believe there are 3 assistants in that room.
One is required for a special child. Two are required for special children. Last year, there was an elementary classroom in that building that had some of these same students. That teacher did not have a special ed teacher with her. She had to do it by herself. Needless to say, she bit out of Norwood. She was a wonderful teacher. She bit out because she didn't have the support she has. We have a teacher in that building right now that has a very serious incident. She is alone in that room with no help. So throughout the building, there's inadequacy about help. Some rooms have a lot of help. Some rooms have no help. No help. As a substitute, I've been kicked, I've been bit, and I've had my hair pulled. Doesn't bother me. It was only a first and second grader that did it to me. These children need help. These special needs children need help. They can't function in those large classrooms because they get frustrated and overwhelmed. But we've put them all in there to give them a chance. In the meantime, we have regular ed children who are, if they don't have, what is that that happens to the vets? They get the PT.
Yes,
I am sure some of these kids have that. Let me ask you, if your grandchild had to sit in a classroom where there's screeching going on, all right? Screeching going on. What do you think is happening? You can tell I am a little overwhelmed here, but I thought it would be good to hear from an outsider because I no longer work for the district, but I'm still there. And I sub, so far this year, I've subbed 20 days just at Norwood to cover meetings, to cover absences to IEP sub. And I will continue to do that job until I hit my max of 90 days, because that is a wonderful school with a wonderful group of people who are not, N-O-T, not getting the support they need. It's time to go back and look at early intervention. That's what helps our students. Not putting them all in a regular classroom. Oh, and maybe they'll get better by the time they're in the third grade. They need their services as well as the regular ed kids need their services.
I'm sorry, miss, what was your name, please? I didn't catch your name.
Patty Angeli, A-N-G-I-L-L-Y.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello. My name is Sharon Boucher, and I'm an English teacher at Winman Junior High School. I have been living in the city my entire life. My three children attended Warwick Public Schools, and I take a lot of pride in my job as a teacher. So you can imagine how I felt when I received a letter from Jennifer Roy, addressed to me and CC'd to my principal regarding a meeting I had with her last Wednesday. I need to start, and this does relate to special ed.
Did you say it does?
It does, okay. Yes. My team, last year we had a self-contained class at Winman. This year, the self-contained class is now part of my team. There are a few regular ed students in this class, some of whom need assistance, some of whom were in my co-taught class last year. And we're doing well with the assistance, with resource. Those supports are gone now. We have a variety of different behaviors that make classroom management and teaching all of the students very challenging. I have a special education teacher in that class and a TA. One of the students in this classroom is a constant disruption to the learning of the other students in this classroom. And the TA worked with this student last year, and it was this way for the entire school year, to the detriment of the other students in this classroom. So, flash forward till last week. We have a meeting with Jen Roy. The scheduling snafu, somebody made a meeting for some of the other teachers on my team. One teacher was absent. So this was during my CPT time, common planning time, that they decided to bring Jen Roy and a couple of other people up to my teaching area. And as most of the teachers were not around, myself and another teacher, were having CPT in my room. Typically, we would go to a different room for this, but we stayed in my room. And we opened the door between my room and my math colleague's room. So I am, in essence, sitting in the middle of these two rooms, and it was freezing in the math teacher's room. So this was not a formal setting. It wasn't like we were sitting at a conference table. I said something like, oh, it's so much warmer in my room. I was freezing. I mean, the temperature goes up and down, and I was dressed for summer. Needless to say, abruptly, Ms. Roy informed me that I'd better get in this room, got up, slammed the door, came over and introduced herself to me at this point, and to say she was abrasive would be putting it lightly. So we're wondering if her concerns are for the children. I know you asked earlier if any of us had ever heard from administration. I did hear from administration, from her, and the opening paragraph addresses how, as we sat down to meet, while I understand that your room was warmer, it was clear that the majority of the participants had chosen to be in the other room, and it goes on and on and on. All right, so to me, that sort of speaks to a very thin-skinned person to make an issue of something that a week later, you're writing a letter and CCing my principal about that. But the more concerning is the next paragraph when she goes on to say, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, because I don't even want to read it verbatim, because she misquoted me. When we were discussing the needs of this child, who is, you know, clearly not in the best setting for this student, because right now the students in this class are very kind, very supportive children. But in a different setting, in a different class, perhaps that wouldn't be the case. I was trying to make her understand, of course, that the needs of the students, the student who is disruptive was taken out of the class for a period of time. In that time, these students, who some are reading at a preschool level, these students are doing well. The last test they took, the lowest grade was a C. So she found that concerning, that I would say, since the student has been absent, I'm getting to know the other students. They're so capable. The first few weeks of school, we didn't know what to expect. You know, this one is reading at a preschool level. This one is reading at the ninth grade level. And it concerns me that she wouldn't think that was important information, because the other students in that classroom are also special ed students. So shouldn't she be concerned about all of the children? I know I am, and the other professionals in the classroom are too. We want what's best for that student and for the others that we're trying to educate. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Leah Baramia. I live in Warwick. I'm currently a stay-at-home mother. Formerly, I was a higher education administrator. I've worked at a variety of colleges, high schools, universities, that sort of thing. And up until very, very recently, I worked really hard to hide the fact that I have Asperger's disorder, which is not something that is seen frequently in women. And I came to uncover that diagnosis as my son, who is 3, almost 4, was diagnosed with Asperger's as well, and is now going through the early childhood referral process to create an IEP from his providers with Meeting Street, who did his initial early intervention assessments. And I'm listening to some of the parents speaking, and I'm listening to the teachers describing what the rooms are. And I have to say that when I heard the parent say that her son came home saying that he had been told to lie down all day, I mean, I very nearly had a panic attack. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm kind of like, I really want to talk, but I don't know. I don't know, because the idea of that for myself or my son is so horrible. I went through a public school system. I went through the Middletown public school system. And I'm fortunate enough that I'm actually still in touch with my first grade teacher. So while I was sitting there, I messaged her and I said, "Hey, how many kids did you have in your class? You know, you're retired now, but what did you have?" And she said, "Oh, we kept it at 19-20. I said, "Okay, and how many kids in that class were special needs?" She said, "Oh, it was you and that boy that was in the wheelchair, and you each had aides, remember?" And I said, "Yeah, I had an aide." And he had an aide. And we were very much a part of the classroom. We had people to help us understand and learn how to be part of a larger classroom. And we also had a resource period. And we were very successful. We've both moved on to advanced degrees. We've both moved on to become homeowners and raise families. I call that a success, one kind of success. And what I'm hearing over and over again as an educator that I needed to say is that there is a very big difference between equality and equity. Okay, the idea that I can line up 100 size 10 shoes here and that everybody will walk out of here, you know, with the same level of comfort and ability is false. That may be equal, but it's not equitable. It doesn't recognize that we all need different things to be part of a larger integrated community. And I've heard Jen Connolly speak in the special ed advisory group. I've heard her say passionately, and I empathize with the idea that she wants every child to be exposed to the same content area. And that comes from a desire, a deep desire to want that fairness. But I think that it's not thoughtfully construed, because in its execution, it becomes unfair. It becomes blanket statements that don't fit. And as someone who I feel that I was a product of a successful special ed elementary program that was integrated with supports, I think that we really need to trust the teachers. I think that we need to trust their experience. They're all deeply passionate, highly, highly qualified people. And the more that I hear, the more I do think that there needs to be an administrative shift, because it sounds like the leadership is going in a completely different direction from people who have done this and have done it well and love doing it and are struggling and hurting. Thank you.
My name is Christine Aubin. My son is in kindergarten. Aubin, A-U-B-I-N. My son's in kindergarten. He has autism. He also has elopement disorder. If you don't know what that means he will run away. I'm fighting right now for my one-on-one, which was in my IEP. I still don't have it. I'm having my second IEP this Tuesday with the district. I fought for ACs. I won because he's heat intolerant. I had to go through jumps and doctor's notes and conference calls and let's see, what else? I guess safety is my biggest concern for staffing. He does not have his one-on-one. He's quick. I spy at recess. And I've watched him run out of recess. I have it documented 7 times in 34 days. Oakland Beach School is only 25 feet from the street. I'm scared. They did put alarms on the doors. That was something that I asked them to do. So I feel like they are working with me, and I feel God bless the teacher, the special ed teacher, and the TA that is in there. But all you have to do is sneeze and grab a tissue. He's gone. And please help, because I might be like a lot of people and sell my house that I've been living in for 17 years in the city of Warwick. I don't want to go, but from what I heard tonight, I might not have a choice. If 50% of children with autism will elope from school at some point, and 15% of the time, that ends fatal. I'm not playing those odds with my one and only. And that's all I had to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, speaking in my individual capacity, rather than as a member of the committee, just to review some of the things if you've heard me speak, you've heard me speak about it before.
Is it working?
All right. So, again, Anthony Sanabi, speaking in individual capacity, not in my capacity as a committee member. For those who've heard me speak before, some of this will be familiar, but not all of it. We've already heard, and I have personal examples with my brother as far as the current classes, him being in Tollgate. He does not have special education needs despite having ADHD. Rather, he doesn't have services, but he's in one of the classes with the combined. They just threw a bunch of kids together, so about 50% IEPs, 50% general education students. And other than that, he's in all honors classes. But in that one class, he's not learning a darn thing. Nobody is, in fact. It's not even just him. It's everybody across the board. Nobody's getting anything out of it. But as we've heard at the last school committee meeting, admin have acknowledged and admitted that this is pretty much a throwaway year. They've accepted that. I can't even fathom how someone can say a year of your kid's life is now irrelevant because they're too inept to do this correctly. I found out just today that my own son's classroom is similar to my brother's classroom, except my son just stays in one classroom all day. He's in elementary school. And he's going through the same thing. Granted, he's got a great teacher. She's doing the best she can. He's learning in a good amount of the classes, but a good amount of those kids aren't, and it's no fault of hers. And those kids don't deserve that. None of them do. I've said it at many meetings, and I'll say it again. For the love of God, get a lawyer. Please. I don't care where. Something's gotta get done. And for those who remember the admin's last excuse when we had this, except pretty much the same deal except for the council meeting, where there weren't enough specific examples of a problem, feel free to turn around and ask them if they have enough now.
Nathan Cornell, I'm speaking as an individual, not a committee member. When I was at Tollgate, I just graduated this year. I know special ed teachers, and I spoke with them about the issues. They were told they have to eliminate IEPs using STAR testing as a basis of whether or not a child should have an IEP. STAR testing is not a test to decide for IEPs. It's also an inaccurate test and can be easily fluctuated. However, it's just so sad to see this special ed teachers, like, they're miserable doing these STAR testing and deciding which students can and cannot have IEP because they're completely against it, but they have no choice because that's what the administration is telling them. This entire situation is, I cannot describe a better word, it's just immoral. Immoral what they're doing and what the disservices they're doing to the students, because every student matters, and after doing this, like, even if one student is affected, there's a problem, but this is not just one student. These are many students from across the district, and something needs to be done now. Thank you.
Okay. I also, speaking as an individual, I just want to point something out that one of the problems is when we get into something like this where we're all seeing these problems and we're all wrapped up in it. Is the big picture is everything we're talking about is illegal. There's no justification for these things. The parent was here speaking about the autistic student that is in the wrong placement. In the past, you know what what would have happened. It would have been, oh my God, that can't be happening. Somebody would be solving that problem that day. That is an emergency problem, a child drastically placed in the wrong place. And it's kind of like the more this stuff happens, the more we get used to it just being so ridiculous and out of control. But the bottom line is, if they need a classroom for, if there's one kid in the school that is improperly placed, the school district has the responsibility to create a class to meet that student's needs. Whether it costs a lot of money, whether it's inconvenient, it doesn't matter. It is their responsibility, their legal responsibility. So the huge frustration is that we all know this. We know these things are illegal. We know that IEPs are federal law and they have to be followed. But we can't get anybody to listen and do something about it. I would have a suggestion to parents. Rye doesn't seem to be too keen on listening to teachers. But individual parents, you may have a little bit better luck to push the issue. But let's just not forget that all of this is wrong, immoral, illegal. Our students' rights are protected. And we have to keep pushing until those protections are properly put in place.
Hi, Darlene Netco, speaking as a private citizen of Warwick, lifelong resident, classroom teacher of now 29 years. And over those 29 years, I've taught everywhere from a seventh grade, we used to call them trans classes. So I co-taught or cooperatively taught or team taught, whatever term you want to use. I was a content teacher and I had a special ed teacher with me. Over the years, I have team taught literacy classes, English classes, a whole variety of classes. And I can tell you, as my colleagues and parents have already said, so this is, you know, just reiterating, and this is why we're here tonight, this is wrong. And I have personally witnessed Jennifer Connelly trying to get special ed teachers to change IEPs, because I guess I was mistakenly invited to a meeting last year. I was a department head of English at Tollgate, and she sent an email to all the department heads to show up at this meeting. And when I got there, she said, "What are you doing here?" So, well, I was invited. And it turned out what she was doing was she had a projector, and she was projecting star scores on the screen and telling the special ed teachers, well, see, this student now is no longer at 10%. He doesn't need an IEP. Well, that is not the case. Or this student has a B in math now, so he doesn't need an IEP. Well, the reason the student has a B in math is that he had an IEP and a resource teacher that he went to, had dedicated resource time for in the course of the day. And what she has done is eliminated much of that resource time that kids relied on to get that one-on-one instruction from their special ed teacher. People have already said, it seems she's setting up kids to fail. And that's exactly what she's doing, because her mentality is, well, and we're not going to put any students in an individualized education setting, or as Ken was talking about at the high school, the co-op class where we had the special ed teacher and the content teacher in these smaller group settings. We're not going to put any kids in these classes until they fail, until the teacher has documented all of the interventions. And we already heard from a teacher who said, I can have a file, gigantic file of these interventions. And I think it was Joan, from Holloman, used to identify students in kindergarten. Now she's not allowed to. Now the child has to make it to third grade and be so far behind and so demoralized and have so many other problems now that how are we ever going to make up that lost time where that student should have had the intervention starting in kindergarten? I don't need to rehash everything everyone has said because everyone has already said it, but one of the other things that they were doing was taking away IEPs and giving a student a 504. Well, that doesn't work either. And parents who have the wherewithal to then go and advocate for their student could have then gotten the IEP back. but not every parent, unfortunately, has that wherewithal. And this goes back to what Cindy Smith said at the beginning. She gave everyone very good advice, and she's been through it. And you should, you know, listen to her. But if parents need an advocate, get an advocate. If parents need to call RIDE, you know, call RIDE. Teachers are not allowed, unfortunately, to alert parents your child's IEP is being violated, because especially special ed teachers have been threatened. And this is passive voice, I don't usually, but Jennifer Connelly has been threatening teachers. You can't speak to them. The non-tenured teachers, I'm going to fire you. I've heard it out of her mouth. So it's a terrible thing, but I'm so glad so many people did come out tonight and that this is being recorded and it's on record. Thank you.
I'm also Donna Travis. I'm going to be speaking on an individual, not part of the group. I lived in Warwick for 60 years, and a good portion of that I have spent with volunteers of Warwick schools doing every kind of thing, from child screening, Joan knows, and CAP program, puppets, all that stuff. So I've seen a lot of things come. First thing I think of is Alice Freeman. Poor thing, must be rolling over right now. That poor woman with early intervention, she was queen of early. She would have been out here screaming and fighting. But I think the bottom line is the system is broken. No matter how you look at it, that's the problem. But it's affecting all the students of Warwick. The behavior students who are not getting the service they need, the general students that are being interrupted with problems. That's why they have to stop and listen. Over 30 people spoke tonight about the system. It's broken. It has to get fixed. And someone has to listen now. Now's the time. We have to get more people involved. If you know people that didn't come and want to write up something, still send it to Ed or myself or the committee, and we'll put it all together so we can go forward with the goal that we're going to clean this up finally anyway. So thank you. Thank you for coming.
Aaron Bacchus, Warwick School Committee, private resident of the city, and this is outrageous, cannot be tolerated, and we all need to march, because we have people who are stonewalling us at the school level, at very high levels, that won't let the right thing happen for our kids. I'm about the right thing happening for our kids. And we can't tolerate this anymore. There's a meeting on the 25th, next Tuesday, to discuss, I guess, hiring teachers and a bunch of other stuff. But I would ask you to come out and make your voice heard. And the more, the better. And every meeting, we need people there fighting for our kids. I'm one person. Like I said, they try to shut me down all the time. I keep fighting, but I need some troops behind me so that we can make the inroads. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to add anything to the discussions that we've had this evening? Yes, certainly. Just get a hold of it close. Oh.
Hit it.
Want mine?
Hello. Thank you. Sorry, everyone. I know it's late. My question is, Karen just said she's fighting the good fight. Karen's always fighting the good fight for us. We're all fighting the good fight for our kids. We're getting tired. I'm tired of fighting this fight. I want to know what comes next. We're here. Now what? What are you guys going to do? What do we need to do to back you for the next step? Because I'm tired of fighting at this level and getting nowhere. I'm beating my head repeatedly and getting nowhere. So now what?
Well, keep in mind, as Council President Travis said earlier, we, some of us on the council, have actually been criticized for stepping into the school department affairs. We've been told we're the legislative branch. We have no business venturing into an autonomous body called the school department. We have no business stepping into issues involving the executive branch. Well, I disagree with that. And I believe that if someone is not doing their job, my job as an elected official is to find out why. And I don't really care about I'm the legislative branch versus this branch or that branch. I've been elected by the people to represent the people. And if it means I need to step out of my sandbox into someone else's, then that's what I'm going to do. So your question, where do we go from here? We on the city council, we have been doing battle with this school administration for a long time. It started out with your previous superintendent. It started out with your secondary director of education. It started out with your attorney from the human services. It has just been one issue after another. It went to the Regosta report, where they spent we're on special ed. Violating my own rule. Thank you all for bringing that to my attention. So, don't worry, we're not going away. Well, the next step for us, the next step for us, let me rephrase that. Donna and I are strictly advisors on the committee. We're not voting members. We are one of four people who actually set up the Educational Advisory or Outreach Committee. So my recommendation, suggestion, would be that the Outreach Committee take everything that they've heard this evening and really dig into this. And I have to tell you, I know why you teachers do what you do, but I have no clue how the hell you do it. Really? Really? What we have heard this evening is it's beyond alarming. It's beyond the point of anyone saying, well, it really isn't that bad. It's some isolated instances. It's folks that, you know, just happen to be angry. It's far beyond that. It's far beyond that. And the points that so many people made this evening, I made it right at the beginning when my children went to Warwick Schools. My children got a great education in Warwick Schools. One's an engineer. One's a graduate from UMass Amherst. So fast forward to where we are now over the last 10 years, and we've had so many problems come up with special ed. I don't have the answers for it. I told you in the beginning, I'm not an educator. What I am is a facilitator. And I believe in bringing the right people in the room. I believe in bringing the right people to the table. And that doesn't always mean the people that agree with me. I believe in bringing people to the table that can help me get it done or stop me from getting it done. I want those two groups of people in the room. And we lock the doors and we do business. So now I am going to explore other legal venues on my own as a council person based upon all of this testimony I've heard tonight. The testimony about safety, the testimony about illegal, the testimony about being directed to do illegal activity. That, in my opinion, steps above and beyond a letter to ride. So I'm not going to get into the details of what my thoughts are right now, but I can assure you that they're going to be going beyond ride. I'm not saying that it perhaps may not be a good idea for the committee, as well as some of us on the council and some of you, to meet with ride and see, and or let me rephrase that, give them an opportunity to help us. To give them an opportunity to correct the wrongs that are here and protect the children. So those are the things I can foresee happening. It's going to be a process. I can tell you in the 6 years, actually it's 4 years, I'll be starting my third term shortly. The most frustrating thing is how slowly the wheels of government turn. It is extremely frustrating. I come from the private sector, and I'm used to saying, move that mic over there, and it gets moved. It doesn't happen in government. It's extremely frustrating. So I believe if we all work together, everyone that came up to the mic tonight, the 30-some people that are at the mic tonight, the folks that couldn't make it here tonight, the folks that were afraid to be here tonight, the folks that didn't have the courage for various reasons, all substantiated reasons for not being able to step up to the mic. We'll get things done. You saw it here tonight. We were struggling in the beginning of this meeting to get people to sign up. At the end of the meeting, we had 10 or 12 people come up that were never signed up. You know why? Because you were surrounded and you were protected and you had the courage of your colleagues and your neighbors and parents to come up to that mic and speak along with you. We have power in numbers.
Absolutely.
And we can do it.
So what is your suggestion for the dozens and dozens of parents that I spoke to that couldn't attend this meeting but want their voice? Who
Please
should they be addressing?
Get us a letter.
Including
the conversations that were had here tonight. We need all this information. In the beginning, when we first started talking about doing a special investigation, well, it was said that, I haven't gotten any complaints. I haven't heard of these problems. Well, you know, perhaps you sleep with your head in the sand, I don't know. Maybe you don't answer your phone. Maybe you're not in your office. I have no idea. But I do know that I've heard plenty. And we need to collect all of those letters. We need to have all those responses, as many. Talk to your colleagues, the parents, the students. That young lady that here was tonight, that was an extremely compelling conversation that she had with us. And it was very difficult for a 16-year-old youngster to come to a mic in a room full of adults, some of us, the white-haired adults, and be able to speak to that. That was courageous. She was a courageous kid. And I'm sure by the testimony we heard tonight, unfortunately, there's a lot more youngsters like her. So we are committed to help wherever we can. We need your help to do it, just like you did tonight. What happened here tonight was just a huge move forward, because we have certainly established that this isn't an isolated instance. It's not a minor thing. It's not someone just angry because they couldn't do this and they wanted to do that. It's been well established. So that, to me, is where the next step will be, a follow-up meeting with the commission to start formulating step two. We're probably at step two tonight. Step one was when so many people came to the city council meeting a while back, when we first docketed that resolution to form the Educational Review Committee in the first place. So step two is now. Step three is, okay, we got to ratchet it up and take it to a much higher level and continue to get the attention and the publicity that you all need, we all need, to be able to correct these things.
Great. Thank you all for your time tonight. Appreciate it.
For the parents who want an immediate fix or darn near close, it's special education. This isn't legal advice. It's more what I said. I said get a lawyer because federal court can get it solved quick. So, yeah.
Hi.
Exactly.
I just have to say a quick word. I was a parent. I'm a physical therapist in Warwick. This is my 25th year. I had a son with special needs in another school district, and I do appreciate your advice to get a lawyer. I couldn't afford a lawyer. I couldn't go that route. I did go the procedural safeguards that they give every parent at every IEP meeting, outlines by the law what your rights are and the steps to proceed. It's not an easy process. It involves mediation, arbitration. I went to mediation. I was not successful. I fortunately had the good ear of the superintendent in my school district who stepped in and intervened. But in the conversation that I had, I said, people are telling me to get a lawyer. But even, I think advocates are wonderful too, but free advocacy is hard to come by with people that, I know there's great advocacy agencies, but a lot of them charge a fee. It may just be $40, but that's cost prohibitive for a lot of people. So I think, you know, you have to go the steps. Some people are fortunate that they can hold that heavy weight over someone and actually follow through with it. And others just need to take those safeguards, and teachers need to keep handing them to parents. When they hear that they're dissatisfied, remind them that this is the paper. This tells you who to contact, the numbers there, where to file a complaint. And that's in place to protect parents. And I don't know how successful that is, because I only went partway through that route. But until this is resolved, that I would strongly recommend that people and teachers keep handing them out and handing them out on an as-needed basis, not just at the IEPs, but as there's our concerns.
Folks, you can contact the Rhode Island Disability Law Center. Phone number is 401-831-3150, and they will help you. And if they can't, they will help you find someone who will. But that their mission is to help people who have issues with education and who need advocates. So that might be a good place to start.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you very much for your courage to come forward this evening and speak about the very personal issues that surround your lives and your children's lives and your students' lives and the things that you have to work with and endure day in and day out. Thank you very much for that courage, and it took courage to come to this mic. Thank you very much.